Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Peter Burak, our guest. This whole week we've been talking about and reflecting on the beautiful passage passages that the church has given us this week as we're celebrating here in the octave of Easter. You might say the implication of the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ to the right hand of the Father is the outpouring of the Spirit, which is the day the church was born on the day of Pentecost, and Peter's message. The central message that the Holy Spirit founded the whole church upon, the central message the Holy Spirit wants the church to constantly be reflecting on, living in, and proclaiming. And we've tried to take that apart the best that we can just through the help of the Holy Spirit, the catechism, and other things. And I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net if you haven't had a chance this week to listen to it. We also have an app, Renewal Ministries app, you can get on our website or just at the App Store, which you can access all of our stuff for free. But welcome back, Pete.
Hey, good to be back.
Okay, so we're going to finish up chapter 2 today. You want to dive into where we left off and we can kind of pick up the rest of the elements of it.
Absolutely. So we left off at verse 42, which is, so right before this, Peter has that amazing preaching moment. The people are cut to the heart. They ask, what shall we do? He leads them into repentance, baptism, and the forgiveness of their sins, and then receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the question is, and maybe what we want to focus on a little bit now is, okay, now what? And kind of the implications for our lives as well. But 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So Pentecost leads to this founding, the birth of the church, right? And so what does the church do? It discovers a new rhythm of life, a new reality of how does a disciple live in the world but not of the world. And I think some of the things that we'd probably want to highlight, and one of them is fear came upon every soul. What do we mean by that?
Yeah, it's the holy fear of the Lord. You know, the Old Testament Psalms are just filled with references to the fear of the Lord. I think that's one truth that many in the modern world, people don't like to talk about. They can't stomach because they think immediately like, oh, gee, he's a capricious, angry God stomping around up there and he's mad at everybody and he's mad at us or whatever. That's got nothing to do with it. It's hard to even put a word on how powerful this is, that it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. When the truth of Christ comes forward, the Spirit begins to move and fills us with a kind of holy sense of awe and profound kind of, it aligns us properly under God, you know? And that's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because I'm startled by, in my heart, the majesty and holiness and power of the great God. And I know I'm not God and I'm not great like he is, but it aligns me then under his authority so that I can hear then his truth and receive it and begin to walk into it because I'm now attentive to it in a new way.
Yeah, it's a humility, right? It's a deep, profound kind of heart-wrenching humility of knowing really who you are in Christ. But the other part that we were talking about even off-air, which is this radical idea that they had all things in common, but then even a little further, they sold their possessions and good and distributed them to all as had need. This idea that all of a sudden all the things of the earth, all the even their dreams, their hopes, their fears, their kind of the markings of human life that would help them evaluate, am I being successful? Am I worth it? All these things that the world offers to us to evaluate our lives, all of a sudden become kind of like nothing in this new reality. Like they so diminish in their importance that everything becomes a gift. Everything becomes at the service of the King. So does that mean I have to give things away? Sure, my time, my talent, my treasure is now at the service of this Lord who has given me his Spirit. And as St. Paul talks about, it's all yours, Lord. It's all rubbish, really, compared to knowing you.
Yeah, no, it's very good. You're referring, I think, in part to Philippians 3, where St. Paul had just talked about the gains that he had made in the world And as a Jew, he's like a Jew among Jews. He was one of the great rabbis. He kind of lined up all his, bona fides or whatever you'd say, his achievements that made him great and set him apart.
His resume
is what I was trying to say. Sorry. And this is what we do in the world. We gain status through our achievements. It forms our identity. It allows me to live in the right neighborhood, to set myself apart from other people. That's kind of the momentum of life. So the more money you have, or the more power you have, the more achievements you have, the more special you are. And your whole identity gets formed in that. And Paul is saying, really, I was kind of on the top of the mountain in terms of being a rabbi. I mean, honestly, no one did it like I did it. And everybody could kind of see that. And it was real. Plus, I was born into the right bloodlines and the rest of it. And he said, but wow, once I understood who Christ is and what I've been given in Christ, what I need, all that stuff that I thought was such a big deal, I literally counted as loss. I just let it go. I just don't worry about that anymore. He said it's like dung. It's like cow manure is what he said. In some ways, it's not bad stuff. It's just that it doesn't mean anything eternally or ultimately, and it is not the source of our identity. And so if it is, those things become like idols. They become like chains that bind us, and they cloud our mind, and we start serving them instead of serving the Lord, the Master. And so we're not living in the fear of the Lord, under the wisdom of God, living the way of life of the Lord. You know, one of the things, Pete, that to kind of move in another direction here in our conversation is, you talked about it yesterday where Peter says to them, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So this is the word of salvation. Peter is not going out to saying, here's something that can enhance your life. Let me just tell you a story about a guy, and this could enhance your life, and you know, you could add it on, and it could be a good thing for you. He's saying, save yourselves, because this generation, this world is crooked. It's not living under the lordship of God and the kingship of God, and it's going to be judged as a result of it. So come out from under it, and then be saved in that process.
Yeah, I mean, an evidence of that is the fact that God came to man, and we killed him.
Yeah.
If that isn't the best evidence of a crooked generation, I don't know what is. The darkness of our minds, God in love sent his son to reveal who we are, what we're made for, where we're going, and ultimately to save us. And man's response to that was violent rejection. And not just in that time and place, but in all of our hearts. If we're being honest with ourselves, if we look in the mirror, there have been numerous, probably too many times to count, the times we have violently rejected God's action in our life. Yeah. And so while Peter, in a particular way, is talking about that generation had a particular, dare I say, curse on it, a darkness was in that generation, but that generation is absolutely applies to all of us. We are all the sons of Adam. Yeah. We are all under, as you love to say, the sin problem, which leads to the death problem. Mm-hmm. And the good news of the gospel is that whether you're rich or poor, big in the eyes of the world, nothing in the eyes of the world, we're all in some ways equal under the eyes of God. We're all sinners in need of salvation, and that salvation out of love is offered in the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Peter, I think, does a really wonderful job and paints a great image for any of us who are in any way active in trying to help people meet the Lord. He paints a great image of the balance of the gospel, the balance being one of mercy, of love, of salvation, without eliminating the need for forgiveness, repentance, turning from sin, and judgment. The good news of the gospel is that it's a balance between the two. It's not just, like as you say, self-helped. It's not just all really, really good news. One of the reasons why the good news is because of the bad news, of an appropriate and honest assessment of where we are. And I think sometimes our preaching lacks the same punch that Peter had, for two reasons. One, I'm not sure it's always filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in the same way that he was open to it. And two, he was completely unashamed. He didn't blush at the crookedness of the generation. He called it out. He identified it, but then tied it to the solution. Yeah. He didn't just call it out for the sake of calling it out. He said, no, I'm telling you this. You're the one who crucified him. I'm telling you all this because salvation, repentance, forgiveness of sins, the life of the Spirit is yours if you can identify that and turn from it.
Yeah, no, it's very good. I'm also just a moment of truth here that I have to express personally. As we're talking about this, I just feel in my heart like a sadness at the same time about how few people in the church seem to grasp this right now, even are some of our leaders. And so here we are in a time of battle, crisis, struggle, And what are some key leaders globally in the church saying, well, let's change the teaching. Let's accommodate the world. We'll grow. We'll be better off if we just kind of align and understand that God's word's coming through all the changes that are happening in this world that's progressing and getting smarter and getting more information. So let's soften what we say about the nature of the human person. Man, woman, marriage, life begins. All that stuff. I don't have to go through the whole litany. It is completely insane. And so many of our leaders are not being strengthened by the fear of the Lord and by the strength of this truth. And you have to remember, if there's priests listening or bishops, I know some of you do, brothers, the accommodation that's happening, that some people, the baptized in the church, are insisting on us looking more like the world, and then some of the leaders in the world are drifting with that and thinking, well, maybe that's going to help us grow because we're certainly declining, right? Yep. That kind of thing. That's total foolishness. You have to know that the people that are calling for that don't know this yet. They don't know the Lord the way Peter's preaching it. And remember, brothers, this is how the church is built, through the declaration and the living out of this truth, which is so radically different, that we're in the last hour, we're in the last days, we're under the lordship of Jesus, judgment is coming, the whole world is under, and the world is a crooked generation, right?
Yeah.
And so how does that change? You bring the kerygma, you bring a living body of people who are living in that truth. You live it, proclaim it, draw other people into it so they become part of this living body. This whole chapter 2 is a little tiny story of how the church begins and how the church grows.
Yes.
It really is. That's it.
Yeah.
Just stick here, brothers, and stop trying to be like the world. It's crazy and foolish, because the more we're like the world, to do that, you know what has to happen? Jesus has to shrink. You have to make him fit into what other people want. And that usually means emptying Jesus of his lordship.
Right.
And his majesty, and that's insane. And the church has no power when she does that. And the Holy Spirit will not back any of the teaching and leadership in the church that doesn't live under the lordship of Jesus Christ in this way in Acts chapter 2. That's why the church is impotent sometimes when she speaks and leads, because we're trying to be like the world, and we're kind of one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom.
Yeah.
So we have to count it all as loss, as you were saying.
Yeah.
What do we talk about? St. Paul said, okay, I count it all as loss, but here's what I want to know now. Yeah. I want to know Jesus Christ, he said. I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I want to have fellowship in his suffering. That's what we should all want.
Yeah. And the only way you want that is if you go through the same thing the apostles went through.
Yeah.
They met him, they followed him, they were filled with the Spirit, and they were living in a repentant heart that was under the fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord is a straight line, not a crooked line, right? And so when we get out of the fear of the Lord, all of a sudden the crooked looks straight. And vice versa. And so, no, this chapter 2 of Acts is such a cornerstone part of the church's message. In some ways, you could say it, all the other catechesis, all the other parts of the scripture build out of this. It is the culmination of the Old Testament, and then it is the launch pad for the New Testament. It's right. Like this is what we should always refer to and point to whenever we enter into relationships and conversations about the Lord.
So good. Pete, thanks for being here with us this week.
My pleasure.
And friends, this message is for you. This is a reality Jesus personally is calling you to live in. And all of this is for you. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or whatever. You can be an absolute smashing success and live a great life, and not, quote-unquote, make it in this world if you're walking with Jesus. Embrace him, walk in it, live in it. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.